Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Case Closed with AJ Benza is part of the Dark Hollywood Collection in the Reels Files on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Be sure to subscribe for new episodes each Thursday. Then go to Reels.com, check the top of the screen, and enter your zip code to find out how you can watch more chilling cases like this when you watch TV. That's Reels.com for the dark crime series and specials you'll find only on Reels Channel.
August 1997. Paris, France. The people's princess, Lady Diana, dies in a gruesome car crash. Her death is ruled an unlawful killing, a tragic accident caused by a drunk driver and the overzealous paparazzi. But some believe it wasn't an accident at all.
When it happened, the first thought for most people was, oh my God, they've done her in.
Who was responsible for Princess Diana's death? Was it really an accident? Or was she murdered by British intelligence? Did the royal family want her dead?
The reason that Diana was a target is what Diana had on Charles Windsor and the rest of the royal family.
Or had the paparazzi finally gone too far? Mystery? Not for long. It was the car crash heard around the world. And among its victims were the most famous woman in the world, Diana Spencer, and her new boyfriend, Dodi Al-Fayed. She was an international celebrity and universally beloved. But at just 36, Princess Diana was dead. The crash was ruled an unlawful killing. Translation, it was an accident caused by her intoxicated driver and the aggressive pursuit of the paparazzi. Later, an extensive investigation would prove that Diana's Mercedes had also made contact with a white Fiat contributing to the disaster. But many say this was no accident and that the smoking gun was that mysterious white Fiat, which incidentally has never been found and the driver never officially identified. Did the driver of that white Fiat intentionally cause the crash that claimed the life of Princess Diana? And if so, was the driver acting alone? Or were they part of a much larger conspiracy, one in which Diana was assassinated by British intelligence, acting under direct orders from members of the royal family? Sound far-fetched? Well, there are many who believe Diana had information that would destroy her ex-husband, Prince Charles, and that a rumored impending engagement with Dodi could have undesirable consequences on Diana's children, Harry and future King William. My mission: examine the evidence, test the theories, and find out once and for all who was responsible for the death of Princess Diana. And to do that, I need to investigate how Dodi and Diana ended up together in the back seat of that Mercedes on August 31st, 1997.
Martin Gregory, TV producer and journalist.
Diana was divorced from Charles almost a year before she met Dodi Fayed. So she was a free woman, no longer a member of the royal family.
Elaine Whitworth, journalist.
Dodi Fayed was the beloved son of Mohammed Al-Fayed, owner of Harrods, Egyptian billionaire. He was an amiable, sociable, gregarious, good-looking guy who adored Princess Diana like everybody else did.
On August 30, 1997, they check into the Ritz Hotel in Paris. The hotel's owned by Dodi's dad.
And when they arrive, there was a whole team of paparazzi there. They were very aggressive, they were very persistent. They were very, very nasty.
Alan Power, author, The Princess Diane Conspiracy.
They decided to go to Dodi's apartment, which is near the Arc de Triomphe, the end of the Champs-Élysées in Paris.
Obviously, they were hoping to get much more privacy there. It was around 12:20 a.m.
A car was pulled out the front of the Ritz Hotel, acting as a decoy.
And then hoping to avoid the paparazzi.
Diana and Dodi came through the back door with Henri Paul.
Henri Paul was the deputy head of security at the hotel. During that evening, he sat in the bar with the bodyguards at the Ritz, and he had two glasses of liqueur.
We have to understand a couple of things here. One is, Henri Paul had worked for the Fayettes for 10 years. In that time, he had never driven a Fayette anywhere once. And so Diana Dodi, Henri Paul, Trevor Rees-Jones went to the rear exit. But when they emerged to go into the new limousine, the paparazzi were, of course, there.
Henri Paul is the driver. Trevor Rees-Jones is her bodyguard. He's sitting in the front passenger seat. And in the back are Diana and Dodi. And they head off into the centre of Paris.
Many of the paparazzi were on motorcycles, and they travelled along the road that runs parallel to the river.
They had to go that way to avoid the paparazzi going on the Champs-Élysées.
They're in the centre of Paris. They are being pursued by multiple paparazzi, and they're going now at great speed in the Mercedes, and they go into a tunnel. The tunnel has giant concrete posts supporting it.
And there was a white Fiat Uno. Henri Paul saw it, scraped against it.
And he just loses control. And slams into one of those posts.
It was a truly horrific crash. Some of the paparazzi just left the scene. They bolted. Others gruesomely stayed to get those shots that they wanted. Dodi Fayed was killed on impact. Henri Paul, driving the Mercedes, was also killed on impact. Trevor Rees-Jones, the bodyguard, survived, but with very serious injuries. Princess Diana was alive, but sustained very severe injuries.
I'm Patrick Stinson with breaking news coverage. Princess Diana is seriously injured, and two other people are dead following a car crash in Paris.
And the initial report was, she's fine, she's hurt, she's broken her arm, she's going to be okay.
I've just been handed from the Reuters news service what is marked a bulletin. It says, Princess Diana has died, Sky Television says.
There was a global wave of sadness, upset, shock, anger, distress. People were very sincerely distraught and couldn't believe it happened. And then, of course, to everybody's amazement, immediately following Diana's death, there was a stony silence from Buckingham Palace.
Everyone's waiting for the Queen to make some major announcement. They had quite a cold response to what had happened.
When it happened, the first thought for most people, most of my friends, was, oh, my God, they've done her in.
Immediately, theories began circulating about what could have happened in the Alma Tunnel that night. The paparazzi had been hounding Diana for years. Could the Fiat have been driven by a photographer who got too close and inadvertently caused the collision? Or was the accident not an accident at all, but a targeted attack? Could members of the British government be behind it all? It wasn't a secret that Diana and the royal family were already at odds. Some even believe the animosity was so great that Diana openly feared for her life. But why? The cold response from Buckingham Palace didn't help silence those who believe they were responsible. For me, looking at the crash, the whole thing seems pretty cut and dry, at least on the surface. So I want to know why so many people think this is no accident.
An investigation by the French police was launched almost immediately. At first, the French police came up with the conclusion the three deaths were the result of reckless driving, the paparazzi, and Henri Paul's excessive alcohol.
Well, I didn't believe it from day one, from the first incident. I thought straight away there's something fishy going on.
Michael Cole, Al Fayed, former press secretary.
On Monday morning, 36 hours after the tragedy, the London newspaper, the Evening Standard, came out with a headline, Drunk as a Pig. It said that the driver, Henri Paul, had three times the legal alcohol limit in his blood. At that time, Henri Paul's blood samples had not even been examined. From the very beginning, the fix was in. Allegedly, none of the cameras along the route from Rue Cambon at the back of the Ritz to the crash in the Alma Tunnel, none of them were working. There was at least 11 cameras. Extraordinary.
Also, the driver of that Fiat Uno was a crucial witness who could explain so much, but he never came forward. We don't know why. Perhaps fear. Perhaps something more serious.
A lot of people really believe she was murdered and not just the victim of a terrible car crash.
In 1997, Princess Diana was killed in a gruesome car crash. Her death was ruled a tragic accident, but some believe it was something more sinister. Did the royal family want her dead? Or had the paparazzi finally gone too far? Almost immediately after Diana's death, French police blamed the driver, Henri Paul. Paul was the deputy head of security at the Ritz where Diana and Dodi were staying in Paris. Now, the police claim Paul had been driving drunk, that his blood alcohol content was three times the legal limit. But accounts from the night say that he only had two glasses of liqueur. And when the drunk as a pig headline seemingly surfaced before his blood could be tested, it appeared as though Henri Paul was being set up as the fall guy. Listen, the timing of the article is suspicious, I'll grant you that, but it doesn't change the fact that his blood alcohol content did come back as three times the legal limit, which if he only had two drinks, doesn't add up. So is it possible that Henri Paul did have more than the reported two glasses on that fateful night? And if he didn't, how come the blood test came back with such a high alcohol content if he was actually sober? Before we condemn him or let the guy off the hook, I need to know more.
They presume that Henri Paul had been drinking, that he was drunk. That's an absolute load of rubbish.
I knew Henri Paul quite well. When I was in Paris, Henri Paul often drove me around. On one occasion, my wife and daughter joined me. I would never, ever have allowed my wife and daughter to have stepped into a car if I thought it was driven by somebody who was irresponsible. He drank a couple of aperitifs, and that was hours earlier.
One of the very surprising things was the video that was shown of Henri Paul walking around the Ritz before the crash. He doesn't look drunk.
When you see him on the videotape, you will see him walking normally, talking to people, talking as closely to Dodi as this. Now, if Dodi had suspected there was alcohol in his breath or he wasn't capable of driving, he would have, not just sent him home, he would have sacked him.
They found that the blood that had been put forward for being his contained nearly 30% carbon monoxide. Anyone with that sort of level of carbon monoxide in the blood would probably be comatose. But then the alcohol level was very high. They used that, and they just dismissed and ignored the fact that it contained a vast amount of carbon monoxide. The whole blood issue was very much in doubt.
When Henri Paul was in the morgue in Paris, there were a number of other cadavers in there, including people who'd committed suicide. And a very common way to commit suicide is to drink alcohol and then ingest carbon monoxide, often from the exhaust of a car. And there were suicide victims in that morgue who had died in just that way.
There had to be a corpse next to Henri Paul that we know had committed suicide by using the exhaust fumes from the car.
The coroner, Lord Scott Baker, he said the carbon monoxide, it cannot be explained. It cannot be explained. We know he'd drunk two drinks. He hadn't drunk three times over the legal limit. And we know that he couldn't possibly have ingested this amount of carbon monoxide because it would have rendered him incapable of functioning. You only really have to understand one thing. The blood sample was switched.
I've studied the security footage of Henri Paul the night of the crash, and I agree. He doesn't look drunk, at least not three times the legal limit drunk. Now, whether or not the blood was switched either intentionally or unintentionally raises some serious concerns for me about the authenticity of Henri Paul's BAC results. But let's put that aside for now. Looking back at the official investigation, the whole thing was ruled an unlawful killing caused by Henri Paul's driving and the reckless pursuit of the paparazzi. So since there are already some serious questions about Paul's role in the tragedy, then it makes me want to take a closer look at the paparazzi to see if they were as culpable as the investigation claims.
What was said was that the paparazzi chased Diana down towards the Alma Tunnel. They were forcing the car, the Mercedes, to drive too quickly, and they crashed into the 13th pillar. The paparazzi came in, it's their fault.
I've done a ride along with paparazzi. I've seen firsthand what they do to get their picture. And it's shocking. They will break every rule of the road to try and get the picture they want. They run red lights. They will gang up together to control traffic. I would not be vaguely surprised if the paparazzi caused that crash.
That's an absolute load of rubbish. I firmly believe that there's sufficient evidence to show that the paparazzi didn't follow behind for quite a reasonable time. Not a vast amount of time, but, you know, a minute, minute and a half. The paparazzi were delayed because the car was coming out of the rear of the hotel.
So we have conflicting reports of the paparazzi's actions the night of the crash. Some say they left immediately after Diana. Others claim they were a minute or more behind her. So which is it? And if they weren't hot on the heels of Diana, then what, if anything, could have caused Paul to drive so fast and ultimately to lose control of the car?
During the inquests, they said that they were killed as a result of the actions of following vehicles. They did not say the paparazzi exclusively.
There was another car in the tunnel.
When the Mercedes arrived in the tunnel, it was going approximately 60 or 70 miles an hour. And there was a white Fiat Uno. Henri Paul saw it, obviously tried to avoid it, but failed. And he scraped against it and lost control and went to pillar 13. We know from the forensic test it was a white Fiat Uno. We know the exact sort of paint that was left on the wreck of the Mercedes. That was analysed and they found out what date, time, year that the Fiat Uno came from. But they couldn't find it. They had a really serious look for it for about 3 months.
What happened to it? What was the involvement? Who was driving it? Where is it now?
If you or I tried to make a car disappear, we honestly could not do it. There would always be a trace of it somewhere, an engine block, a number, something. Never been found.
The driver of the Fiat, and we understand it was a man, he was seen.
There was a suggestion that James Andanson, the French photographer, was the owner of the mysterious white Fiat Uno.
James Andanson. He'd been bragging about being in the tunnel that night.
He did drive a white Fiat Uno. He then sold the Fiat Uno later that year. Investigators did look at this very carefully, and his story changed considerably when he was interviewed and investigated, and they decided that he had nothing at all to do with the tragic crash. But the questions remain.
Andanson. He can no longer give evidence because he's dead.
He did commit suicide a few years afterwards.
James Andanson was found in his BMW car.
And there were two bullets in his brain.
He shot himself twice in the head and then set fire to his corpse. French judge said, suicide. I believe that any sane person would say that James Andanson was murdered because he had been involved in the murder of Diana Spencer.
If you like what you're hearing, check out Hollywood's Dark Side on Reels channel. You'll find true stories and mysteries of celebrity icons on Autopsy that reveal what really killed American legends like John Wayne, Anthony Bourdain, Aretha Franklin, and NASCAR's Dale Earnhardt. To find Reels on your TV, go to Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then, check the top of the screen and enter your zip code to find Reels on your system in your area.
In 1997, news shocked the world that Princess Diana was killed in a gruesome car crash. Her death was ruled a tragic accident caused by the combination of her driver being drunk and the pursuit of an aggressive paparazzi. But many believe this was no accident. Who was responsible for Princess Diana's death? Was it really an accident? Or was she murdered by British intelligence? So we know there was a mysterious white Fiat Uno in the tunnel the night of the crash. We also know Diana's Mercedes made contact with this Fiat moments before ramming into the 13th pillar. The Fiat then sped off into the night, never to be found. Now, some believe the driver was a paparazzo by the name of James Andanson, but it was never proven, and he died 3 years later. Despite evidence that he was shot in the head twice and lit on fire, the death was ruled a suicide. Really? If he truly was shot in the head twice, this was definitely a murder. So, why was Andanson killed? And does it have anything to do with the death of Diana? Well, for many, they don't only think Andanson was in the Alma Tunnel that night, They believe his presence there wasn't a coincidence, but part of a well-timed conspiracy to cause the terrible crash.
I believe the Fiat was part of the attack process. I mean, his intention was to drive towards Mercedes, timing it perfectly to block the Mercedes' ability to drive to the right.
An American witness who was travelling through the tunnel says he saw a bright light that was flashed directly at the Mercedes.
The flash of light that's used specifically by US and UK military forces, often for disorientating helicopter pilots or vehicle drivers, so they disorientate them temporarily, but enough so they make them lose control of the vehicle. Flash triggered Henry Paul's eyes. The speed, disorientated, and unable to control, he couldn't see what he was doing.
People know that such a technique is possible and that it's effective, and it has been used.
So the American tourist saw a white flash of light. Remember, Anderson was a paparazzo, and if he was driving the Fiat, what's to say the flash didn't come from his camera? And that was what momentarily blinded Henri Paul and ultimately caused the crash. This seems like the more likely scenario. So why do people believe Anderson was part of a conspiracy? And who would have the resources to plan and execute such a complicated attack?
There was an allegation that a squad of elite MI6 operatives posing as paparazzi were actually there in the tunnel and caused the crash.
MI6 is like CIA. They have global control, reporting directly to the Foreign Secretary. MI6 were in large numbers in Paris that night, had been for a couple of weeks before, and no explanation has been given as to what they were doing there.
The thing about the Secret Service is they do things secretly. Things are done behind the scenes for the greater good of the country or the security of the country, which are so contentious that they cannot be known about. They have to be done in the dark.
The theory goes MI6 specifically flashed that light, causing Henri Paul to be momentarily blinded, and so he crashed the car.
I believe the white Fiat Uno was part of the MI6 operation on the route down towards the Alma Tunnel. Motorbikes were waiting with the special forces military ready to go. The Fiat was also waiting down there. Mercedes comes down, and SAS, SBS troops in the back of motorbikes posing as paparazzi take off. The Fiat bumped at Mercedes' side. Immediately after that, a flash triggered Henry Paul's eyes. And as a consequence, we have a dreadful accident. We also have a witness who stopped at the end of the tunnel looking back. And he saw one of the bikes, the motorbikes coming through, pull over by the Mercedes quickly, having looked inside the car, give the signal across to say, job done. And then jump back on his bike and drive off fast.
To do all that, MI6 would have had to know Princess Di was taking the Alma Tunnel that night instead of the Champs-Élysées, which is the fastest route to Doty's apartment. To know all that, they would have had to have somebody on the inside. So did they?
I believe Henri Paul was in the employ of National Security Service, MI6. We have the testimony of Richard Tomlinson, ex-SAS, ex-MI6 officer. And one of the things he attested to was that he knew there was a man who was a security at the Ritz. He had every reason to believe that Henri Paul was indeed working for MI6. Henri Paul was very useful to MI6. having the security manager of a hotel like the Ritz Hotel, where a lot of top people go and stay there, you know, American presidents, kings, queens, they could use him so they could get information they wanted from those particular people. He didn't make a vast amount of money at the Ritz, probably about less than £30,000 a year, so $50,000 US per year, and he was getting an awful lot of cash extra coming his way. It was over £300,000, probably $500,000 US in his accounts, about 10 different bank accounts, and there's no other explanations where it came from. Certain what happened is that he was being paid by MI6, who pay an awful lot of cash, especially for a job like this. And he was taking instructions from his handler, almost certainly a few hours before the attack. Henri Poir would not obviously have gone driving into the tunnel if he'd known that the car was going to be demolished in the tunnel. He will have been told that he was going to drive that way and take a different route through the tunnel to avoid going down the logical route down the Champs-Élysées, where they would normally go to get to Delia's apartment.
I was able to confirm that Henri Poir did indeed have hundreds of thousands of dollars in multiple bank accounts, which suggests he was receiving money from another source. And a 2006 investigation revealed that Poir did do work for the French security services from time to time. So it's entirely possible he was working with British Secret Service. And if that's true, then MI6 would have had everything they needed to successfully pull off an operation like this. Now, if this is the how, what I don't yet have is the why. And who could have ordered MI6 to assassinate the most famous woman in the world?
There is a speculation that the Royal Family commissioned MI6 to put a hit out on Princess Diana.
Diana was sure that she was going to be murdered. She went to her secretary, who was a former Royal Navy officer, and she said, "I'm going to be killed by my husband, Prince Charles, in a car." And it's going to be made to look like an accident.
In 1997, Princess Diana was killed in a horrific car crash. Her death was ruled a tragic accident caused by the reckless drunk driving of her chauffeur and the pursuit of aggressive paparazzi. But others believe there's more to the story. Was she murdered by British intelligence, or had the paparazzi finally gone too far? So, if Diana was in fact murdered, the leading theory is that the crash was orchestrated by MI6 using a planted white Fiat and a military-grade flash of light to temporarily blind Diana's driver, Henri Poir. And if MI6 was responsible, they were acting on orders from members of the royal family. Now, what makes this theory so difficult to dismiss is Diana herself. Shortly before the crash, Diana predicted her own murder, and even more chilling, precisely how it would be done. But what I want to know is, why would Diana think her life was in danger?
Most people in the country knew there was a major problem with Charles Windsor and Diana Spencer. Diana was letting be known publicly that she felt she was being threatened. She was in some danger. She knew MI6 were following her. They had been for years, and she was terrified. The last thing she wanted was them reporting back to the royal family, to Charles Windsor and the Queen, as to where she was going, what she was doing, who she was seeing.
Before she was killed, Diana was sure that she was going to be murdered. She went to her solicitor, a man called Victor Michcon, and she said to him, "I'm going to be killed by my husband in a car. The brakes are going to be made to fail. It's going to be made to look like an accident."
Very early on in the marriage, Prince Charles and Diana just seemed to be like the perfect couple. But looking back, there was no real excitement or enthusiasm in Charles's eyes. Her husband was consistently unfaithful from very early on in the marriage with Camilla Parker Bowles.
Charles was in love with Camilla, and that was always a point of contention for Diana. That drove a wedge between the two of them.
Prince Philip and the Queen didn't have much in common with Diana, and they never really liked her. Everything she did really irritated them. Diana had her two sons very early on in the marriage. You had the heir and the spare. From then on, things started to slide quite dramatically. Diana was taking the limelight away from the Queen, away from everybody else.
I think the Queen felt she was beginning to be overpowered by Diana. It wasn't the sort of publicity that the royal family were used to. It was more celebrity-based than the respect of a royal family. And in the end, in fact, it was the Queen that wanted the divorce to go ahead.
Diana was divorced from Charles almost a year before she met Dodi Fayed. So she was a free woman, no longer a member of the royal family, but still the mother of Harry and William, the two princes.
Diana and Dodi were very deeply in love. Dodi said, "There will never be another woman for me, never."
The conspiracy theorists led by Mohammed Al-Fayed say that she was about to get engaged, that the ring had been bought, and that she was definitely planning to marry Dodi.
Halfway through the last afternoon in Paris, Diana went to have her hair done, and Dodi, he went off to the local jewellery store, and he looked through a series of rings. We know for certain because we have a videotape of it.
Dodi's father, Mohammed Al-Fayed, became convinced that his son and Diana had been murdered. He firmly believes the British establishment could not have tolerated the mother of the future king marrying a Muslim.
They couldn't do anything about it, of course. They didn't have any control over her. She was literally a free woman. She was divorced. They didn't like Mohammed Al-Fayed. They didn't like everything he represented. He was vulgar. He wasn't the kind of guy they wanted to have at the palace for dinner. There was also the idea that a Muslim marrying Princess Diana was not a good thing.
Dodi told me the princess and I are going to live in California because she believes in America. The Americans will give her more of a break because she's had enough of the British press.
Diana would have taken, under British law, the children with her. They couldn't have kept the children away from the mother. Both the children would have been, therefore, in the United States, and they'd been with their mother and with Dodi Fayed. It would have been a disaster from the British royal family's point of view. They couldn't stand the thought of Diana living abroad, outside the control of the royal family. The security services over here couldn't control or look after their interests, couldn't maintain the grooming, as it were, towards the future king.
One of the rumours is that she was pregnant with his child, and that was not acceptable for the royal family.
There were very real fears within the royal family that Mohammed and his son were trying to inveigle themselves into the establishment, into the royal family. If Diana was indeed pregnant, it would have caused a massive scandal and even more embarrassment to the royal family.
The monarchy couldn't stand the thought having a Muslim child being born the half-brother of a future king.
When you look at this case from the royal family's perspective, you start to realize they had a lot riding on Diana's next move. Her relationship with Dodi Fayed, their impending marriage, and possible relocation to the U.S. was a perfect storm of worst-case scenarios. And that's not all. Many believe there was another more terrifying reason to have her forever silenced.
Overwhelmed, hard, that attention would become...
The reason that Diana was a target by the royal family is because she had really become unstable in their eyes. It was also the fact what Diana had on Charles Windsor and the rest of the royal family.
The supposed motive was that they wanted to get hold of a diary Princess Diana had been keeping, which had explicit details about Prince Charles's personal life, which would have had a very detrimental impact on his reputation and may even have affected his chances of becoming king.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Big Brother Jake, a.k.a. Jake Warner.
My government name.
Check it out. I host a show called the Big Brother Jake Podcast, and I've taken my talents to the biggest and baddest platform on the planet. That's right, baby, Podcast One. My show is unique as I talk about everything. Life, sports, entertainment, being a single dad juggling several jobs. I'm a hot mess, but it's damn entertaining. Subscribe and review now on Apple Podcasts and listen on Podcast One or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1997, Princess Diana was killed in a gruesome car crash. Her death was ruled a tragic accident, but many insist it was murder. Was it really an accident? Who was responsible for Princess Diana's death? If Diana was murdered, there's no doubt the royal family was behind it. The motive? Diana's deepening relationship with Dodi Fayed. It was believed they were about to get married, move to the U.S., and take the heirs to the British throne with them. And if the crown tried to stop her, Diana allegedly had a diary full of royal secrets that could seriously damage the monarchy.
She constructed a dossier, which is about an inch thick. The dossier contained information about Charles Windsor, about his sex exploits, what he was getting up to. After Diana was murdered, Diana's dossier just disappeared. One of her friends, Rita Rogers, had been given a copy of this entire dossier. She kept it under the mattress in her bed for a while, then she got rather nervous what was going on. She knew Diana had been murdered, and she knew it was coming her way. So she got rid of the dossier.
Is it possible Diana had information and dossiers on the royal family and they wanted to silence her? Absolutely.
Okay, so let's say they did it. Fine. The royal family had Diana murdered. How exactly does that go down? Are we really suggesting that the Queen of England, who was 71, put out a hit on her son's ex-wife like some mafia godmother?
Do I think that the Queen sat down one day and said Diana should be killed? Of course, I don't believe that. But that's not how it works.
Charles, I don't think he'd have the balls to do it. Without doubt, it's Philip who would have made the decision.
There have been allegations that Prince Philip couldn't stand Princess Diana and that he definitely didn't want her muddying up the royal landscape by marrying a Muslim and having Muslim children.
On the morning that they were killed in Paris, one of the Sunday newspapers in England had a major story. Prince Philip was quoted as describing Dodi as an oily bedhopper. A disgusting phrase, an oily bedhopper. In terms of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, although the Queen sits on the throne, the Duke is very much head of the royal family, the firm, as they call it. He is the man who sits on committees which are to do with security matters. He would have regarded the marriage of Diana to Dodi with great distaste, to put it mildly.
So did Prince Philip really do it? Or did the official inquiry get it right? Was Diana's death just an unlawful killing? Let's start with the official story. Was Henri Paul really driving drunk? Based on the security tape of him right before the crash, he certainly doesn't appear to be. And as for his blood alcohol content being 3 times the legal limit, well, the appearance of carbon monoxide suggests the sample's unreliable. As for the paparazzi, they definitely contributed to the crash. Paul wasn't racing through the tunnel for no reason. The paparazzi were either nipping at his heels, or he knew they would be soon. But was there something more sinister going on? Were MI6 operatives masquerading as the paparazzi? If Henri Paul was indeed working with British Secret Service and drove Diana and Dodi right into their trap, I think it's possible to pull off such a complex operation as this. But to execute such a high-profile assassination in this manner doesn't make much sense. There's just too many things that could go wrong. A car accident isn't a gunshot to the head. There's no guarantee she dies. There's not even a guarantee Paul crashes. It's impractical for an organization with all the resources of the British Secret Service to assassinate somebody this way. But what about the mysterious white Fiat? Well, that's a tough one. All we know is after making contact with the Mercedes, the driver sped off into the night, which isn't that unusual. I mean, the guy just caused a fatal accident and may have any number of reasons for avoiding a conversation with the cops. He could have been worried he'd be charged with manslaughter. He could have been driving drunk. He could have been wanted. Anything's possible. So in the end, I believe the investigation got it right. Diana's death was an accident caused by the reckless driving of Henri Paul as he attempted to evade the paparazzi who were aggressively chasing him. And the mysterious flash of light witnesses saw was likely nothing more than the camera flash from one of Diana's relentless pursuers. I'm A.J. Benza, and this case is closed.
Case Closed with A.J. Benza comes from the Dark Hollywood Collection at Reels Channel. To get more like this when you watch TV, go to Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Check the top of your screen and enter your zip code to find us on your system. You'll also find extras from the TV version of Case Closed with A.J. Benza, including full episodes, witness interviews, and crime scene photos you'll get only on Reels Channel. Find Case Closed with A.J. Benza and its companions on Roku and Fire TV, too.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning Shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save